Let's take our Bible and go to the book of 1 Corinthians chapter 15 while we stand at our feet. 1 Corinthians chapter 15 while we stand at our feet. I'm just so glad to see everybody with us today. Amen. Glad to see you here. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, better known as the resurrection chapter. The Apostle Paul, he's telling us in that about the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. He tells us in that in the middle of this chapter, kind of toward the first to middle part, he talks about some that were preaching that there had been no resurrection. And the Apostle Paul said in verse 13, but if there be no resurrection of the dead, then Christ is not risen. I'm glad there's a resurrection of the dead. Not only of the Lord Jesus Christ, but of the saints of God that have went on and had to be with Him. Do you realize that the Bible tells us over the latter part of this chapter what He calls a mystery? He said, we shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, the last trump, for the trumpet shall sound, and the dead shall be raised. Look at what your Bible says, incorruptible. They have met corruption with their body and that in the ground, but they're going to be raised incorruptible. And he says, and we shall be changed. Thank God for that. There is a resurrection. But I want you to look in verse 21, if you would, with me today. The Bible said, for since by man came death, by man came also the resurrection of the dead. For as in Adam all die, even so in Christ shall all be made alive. You can be seated today. Heavenly Father, we love You and we thank You. Would You please help us preach? Lord, we certainly need You. I pray You'd guard our mind and our thoughts today and put a hedge about us and about this church. And Lord, there is folk that wanted to be here today but could not come. And Lord, I pray that You would touch them and help them and encourage them today by the singing, by the Word of God. For those that are here today, Lord, we pray that in this service that folk would be very attentive and be very, Lord, to open their heart to the receiving of the Word of God. Lord, we can't do anything on our own. And we pray that if there's one here that's lost, that they'd get saved and that they'd come to know You in the free pardon of sin. Lord, I just want my mind settled on things and settled towards You. And we love You and we thank You. Meet with us now. Help the one that needs help and save that sinner's nearest hell. For these things in Jesus' name, amen and amen. Let me say that as we look at this passage of Scripture, these two verses, as some was preaching that there was no resurrection, and he told us that our faith and that our preaching would be vain. Verse 17, he tells us that if our faith is vain, he said, you're yet in your sins. Had Christ not died and rose again for us, then we would still be in our sins, dying and going to hell. But I'm glad today that we do know and understand that Christ rose from the dead. He said in verse 20, but now is Christ risen from the dead. Ain't that a wonderful thought? To know that Christ is no longer in the grave. He's not there. Our salvation is real. Listen, there's a lot of folk out there. I'll get started here in a minute. There's a lot of folk out there in life wandering aimlessly and that around, trying to do the best they can to find peace and joy and happiness in a world that is falling down around them. And if they would come to meet Christ, the one who got up out of the tomb and who rose again the third day, He would help them. Amen. He helped you if you're saved this morning. You need to remember where you were when Christ found you. You say, well, preacher, I wasn't that bad. I wasn't that mean. I'm going to deal with some things this morning to hopefully show us where we were and where Christ brought us to. But look what he said. For in Adam all die, and even so in Christ shall all be made alive. I want to preach, having a thought this morning, on what he said right there in verse 22 when he said, in Christ. Do you know that terminology is found 78 times in your King James Bible, in Christ?
Listen, when you begin to look and see what the Christian has in Christ, it will amaze you. I'm not going to be able to preach everything about in Christ this morning, and we may preach a series of messages on that, but I want you to look and understand just three things this morning about being in Christ. First of all, being in Christ, there is life, there is animation. You know, a dead man or a dead woman is not animated, are they? They don't move. They have no sound. There is no action. And the Bible said right here, for as in Adam, all die. In what Adam done to us in the garden, you all know what he done. He dropped us off and humanity into death. Because the Lord said, in the day that you sin, thou shalt surely die. What the devil tell him? What did the devil tell Eve over there in chapter 3? He said, thou shalt not surely die. And you know what happened? When they partook of that fruit and ate of that fruit, listen, they did not die physically right then. But friend, death entered in because of sin. Wherefore, as by one man sin entered the world, and death by sin, and so death passed upon all men, for all have sinned. Do you realize that when you were lost without Christ, you were dying and you were in your sin and it was going to kill you and put you in the grave and send you to hell in an eternal death that you and I couldn't escape from. But listen today, because I'm in Christ, I have love. When nobody else could give it to me, He gave it to me. I'm excited about life in Him today. I'm excited about Him. Hey, listen, somebody that has life is animated. Listen, you move and you have a being about you. There's something different about somebody that's living from somebody that's dead, ain't there? That old corpse on there ain't got nothing but just a body. But boy, when I'm telling you, when I was lost, all I had was a body. It's in our sins that we were lost, but it was in our sins that He saved us. The Bible said, and you hath He quickened who were dead in trespasses and sins. You know what that word quickened means? It means to be made alive. So He come by where we were and gave us life, didn't He? Wherefore, as in Adam all die, but in Christ all shall be made alive. The Bible said in the book of Colossians chapter 2, and you being dead in your sins and the uncircumcision of your flesh, hath He quickened together with Him, having forgiven you all trespasses. So when you got saved, and I hope that everybody's in here is saved, but if you're not, you can get saved this morning. Ain't that wonderful? You can get saved. Listen, if you're lost without Christ, you can get saved. If you realize your need and come to Christ, He will save you. He said, all that come to me, I will in no wise cast out. I think when boys and girls and men and women come to the Lord to get saved, He'll save them. Preachers, we make a big to-do about a lot of things, and we can talk about doctrinal issues and theological issues, and I've heard people talk about, well, you know, there was folk come to the altar and wanted to get saved, and God wouldn't save them. That's not Bible. When a sinner comes to Christ and begs and wants to get saved, He'll save them. When they come knowing that they need to get saved, He'll save them. The night that I got saved, I know that I was lost and needed to get saved. And I come and ask Him, and He done just that. But it's in Christ Jesus that we find life. John 3 talks about being born again, being birthed into the family of God. That young'un gets born, it is alive, ain't it? It's birthed in. Does that know what He told Nicodemus over there in John chapter 3? He said in John 3 and 7, He said, marvel not that I say unto you that you must be born again. And so birth is brought in and life is brought. You remember what the Lord Jesus told Martha over there? I was listening to a preacher the other day, and he said, Martha, come out there when Lazarus died and was trying to boss him around. I thought that's pretty good. Said she come out there and said, trying to boss him around. I said, if you'd have been here, said, our brother would not have died.
You know, the Lord, He come late for a reason, didn't He? You know, the Lord sometimes shows up late in our life for a reason. He really does. We wonder where He's at sometimes. He's always there. Listen, as my wife sung, when we don't understand, God is still good. I mean, listen, He's still good. He's always there. You remember what the Lord asked Martha over there? Said, do you believe that your brother will live again? And she said this, she said, I believe that in the last day, in the resurrection of the last day, he shall live again. You know what Jesus told her? He said, I am the resurrection, the life. He that believeth in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. And whosoever liveth and believeth in me shall never die. Believest thou this? He said, look, Martha, I am the resurrection and the life. It's in Christ that we have life. It's in Christ. Listen, John 14:6. He said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. You know, the Bible tells us over there that, you know how that we have passed from what? Death unto life. Remember what little John tells us? You know how that you pass from death unto life? You know how that you know that you pass from being lost to being saved? Death unto life, because we love the brethren. He said, you pass from death unto life. There's a lot of people acting like they're lost when it comes to loving the brethren. Amen? You say, well, they're awful hard to love and like. Yeah, we ought to love the brethren, friend. We ought to love the brethren. I've been studying more and more on that here over the past year. And if we really do, especially as little John and as the Apostle Paul tells us over, you know, even when you go over there and look, and look what he told the church of Corinth. I know I talked about this a month or two ago. He told them, he said, you're going to law. You know what they had going on? They had brother against brother that were in the church that were saved. And they had a dispute between them, and they would take that dispute into the court system. Now they got a saved person and a saved person that's got a problem, and they take it to the court system. And the Apostle Paul, he says, well, you ought to take him that is least among you and make a judge out of him. And let him judge what goes on between you. And he says, and if you're not going to do that, then you ought to just suffer the wrong. He said, before I would take and go to the court system, I would rather just suffer the wrong. You talk about having to love your brother to suffer the wrong. See, it's okay for the preacher to talk about loving your brother until we talk about having to suffer the wrong. Nobody wants to suffer wrong. Nobody wants to have the best God out of them, or as we would say, boy, they got the best out of me, didn't they? And nobody wants to be God. Nobody wants to be taken advantage of. I don't know how we got there, but ain't that good. Amen. As the same preacher the other day, I was listening, he said it got chilly right there. You know what we say? I hit a stump. Amen. I hit a stump. Now ain't that right? Shouldn't we rather suffer the wrong? Whether somebody, listen, if somebody gets the best of us, I let them get the best of us, because I'm going to be honest. Before I took it into the court system, listen, we just need to suffer the wrong. God will make it right, and it'll be okay. But life. There's no song that me and my wife, we talk about when we were young. Now, we're not old, we just ain't young no more. But when we were 16, 17, and 18 years old, 19 years old, even after we got married, as we sang, you know, we still sang in the youth choir after we got married. Why? We were still young back then. There was an old song that we used to sing in the youth choir, I Just Started Living. And boy, when we got saved, we just started living. But you know what happens when we got in Christ and we got life. And boy, I mean, we got saved and we realized that there was something different about us. Therefore, if any man be where? In Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. And behold, all things are become new. So we get that and we realize something has changed in my life. But then, the more I grow in Him, the more life I realize that I have. What do you mean? He said in John chapter 10 and verse 10, the thief cometh not but for to steal, to kill, and destroy. And I'm come that they might have life, and that they might have it what? More abundantly. He did not say abundantly, which would have been understandable if he would have said abundantly. He didn't say abundantly by itself. You know what the word abundant means? Plentiful or in great quantity. So we have plentiful life. We have life in great quantity in Christ Jesus the Lord. But he said, I've come that they might have it what? More abundantly. So the word more means in great quantity. And then he says, I've come that their abundance might be in great quantity. He said, I not only want them to be abundant in life, but he said, I want them to have a lot of abundance. That's the life that we have in him. A lot of people are looking for the good life out there. And they'll never find the good life out there. The good life is in Christ. The good life is in him. In Christ we have life. In Christ we live. In Christ, listen, he talks about in little John, 1 John chapter 5. He said, and this is the record that God hath given to us, eternal life. So now we have abundant life, and I didn't even expound on that a whole lot. Listen, my life is good. Yes, I got problems. Yes, I've got battles. Yes, we have storms, and yes, we have mountains that we climb. And boy, as Christians, don't we have a lot of adjectives to describe when life goes bad? You ever notice that? We do. They're walking through the valley. They're climbing the mountain. Which one is it? Are you in the valley or climbing the mountain? I mean, that's a Marvin West thing right there. He said he went to camp meeting one time, and the preacher preached on what? Staying in the boat. And the next morning, the youth choir gets up and sings, "Step out in the water." What are you going to do with that? Hey, we've got all kinds of ways to describe when life's bad. Boy, it's got dark. The sun ain't shining. You know what? Every one of them's right. Every one of them's right. There are times that we go through the valley. And there are times that we're climbing the mountain. And there is times that it is dark and stormy outside. But you know what? Even in that, I know that my life is secure in Him. I know it. It may get bad. And it may get bothersome. But I know that my life's still in Him. And this is the record that God hath given to us, eternal life. And this life is where? In His Son. He that hath the Son hath life, and he that hath not the Son of God hath not life. These things have I written unto you that believe on the name of the Son of God, that you may know that you have eternal life, and that you may believe on the name of the Son of God. One of my favorite verses out of Little John is verse 13 right there, where he says that you may what? That you may know that you have eternal life. K-N-O-W. There's a lot of folk waiting until they die to see if they got eternal life. I started living when I got saved. I got eternal life when I got saved. I got abundant life when I got saved. It may get bad sometimes, but it's still good. It may seem dark sometimes, but I'm still living. And it's all in Christ. Without Christ, you're dying in your sin. You know how you get in Christ? I was going to deal with this at the end. You know how you get in Christ? You come to Him and ask Him to save you. And He'll save you. In Christ, there is animation. There's life. But in Christ, there is no condemnation. Take your Bible and look in Romans chapter 8. Y'all ought to know this. If you've read your Bible, been in Sunday school, you ought to know what your Bible says. Romans chapter 8. Romans chapter 8, look in verse 1. There is therefore now. I love that word now because it applies to now. It applied to yesterday, then, when it was now. It applies today, right now, and it will apply to tomorrow right now. There is therefore now no condemnation to them which are where? In Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus. Let me read that again. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus hath made me free from the law of sin and death. For what the law could not do, in that it was weak through the flesh, God sent in His own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh, and for sin, condemned sin in the flesh, that the righteousness of the law might be fulfilled in us who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. Now notice what he said. After he dealt in chapter 7 with the flesh, he deals right here in verse 8, or chapter 8, he says, there is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus. What is condemnation? Condemnation is the fact and that of being declared guilty and dooming that person to punishment. I'm alive in Christ. There's no longer death dwelling and living in me and chasing me. By the way, from the time that that baby is conceived in the womb of its mother, death is chasing it till it catches it. Death's chasing all of us. But in condemnation, there was what? The fact of being declared guilty and punishment that come with it. Can I tell you that man is born into condemnation? You didn't have to do anything to be in condemnation. I didn't have to do anything to be guilty of sin. Look in John chapter 3. Look with me in John chapter 3. Most of us know John 3:16. He said, "For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life." But look in verse 17. "For God sent not His Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through Him might be saved." As Christians, as believers, I'm going to stop with what I was just saying. We have a bad habit of wanting to judge sinners. Now we look and we know what the Word of God says, and he says, if you judge righteous judgment. He that is spiritual judges all things. A lot of people, they get tore up about that judging thing. The Word of God does nothing but judge our lives sometimes. And it's by the Word of God that we make our judgment, by the way. As I say, where the Word of God is silent, I'll be silent. Where it talks, I'll talk too. But what we have a problem sometimes is we look at the world and we judge them in their sin for the sin that they are committing and say, boy, if they would just stop that sin. No. You can't get a sinner to stop a sin. You can't do it. I can't do it. That's called reformation. What they need is regeneration. Only Christ, who sets up life in them, can help them with their sin. So what are you talking about? We look at the world and we condemn them and tell them, but the Bible says right here that He came not into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through Him, there it is again, Him, it's in Him, and through Him might be saved. He that believeth on Him is not condemned, but he that believeth not is condemned already, because he hath not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. Condemnation is already here. Condemnation, Jesus didn't come to bring condemnation and condemn the world to hell. They were already condemned to hell. You were already condemned to hell. But when Christ came, He came to bring not condemnation, but to bring salvation. And this is the condemnation that light is come into the world. And men love darkness rather than light, because their deeds were evil. For everyone that doeth evil hateth the light, neither cometh to the light, lest his deeds should be reproved. But he that doeth truth cometh to the light, that his deeds may be made manifest that they are wrought in God. In Christ, without Christ, there is condemnation. There is guilt And there is shame because, or there should be, because of being lost. But ain't you glad that the day or the night that you got saved, that it was in Christ that there's no condemnation? You were condemned. I was condemned. Condemned to die. The death that reigned in us brought condemnation in us. The lack of animation brought the condemnation. John 3:18, what he said, he that believeth on him is not condemned. There is no condemnation in Christ. Now if you've got sin in your life, there ought to be condemnation. If you're lost, there ought to be condemnation. For the believer, for the saved person, if you've got sin in your life, you ought to be condemned about that sin. Not condemned about being lost, but condemned about that sin. You remember the condemnation that you felt the day that you got saved? Remember, you figured out you're guilty about some things. The Holy Spirit finally took the Word of God that day, or He had already been doing it and was working in your heart and showing you the condemnation that you were under and that you were lost. Being in Christ brings us not a sentence of guilty, but a sentence of innocence. Because there's no longer condemnation. Now how is that possible? How is it, knowing that we were born in sin and born into death? You know, we were born in sin, right? For all of sin comes short of the glory of God. Psalms 51. For in sin did my mother conceive me, and I was shapen in iniquity. David said those things. Listen, we understand that we're sinners. We know that, and sin brings death. We understand that. We know that it brings condemnation. And in Christ there is no condemnation. Why is that? Because He paid for it. And so that brings me to number three. The justification that comes in Christ. See, there's animation when we get saved. There's no condemnation because of the life that He gave us. But then there comes justification. Look in Romans chapter 3. Look in verse 23. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. You know, I don't leave nobody out. I don't leave you out, me out, the best or worst person that we know. Don't leave anybody out. And I'm talking about being in Christ. And to be honest with you, I'm just dealing with salvation right now and what we got out of it. He said in verse 23, He said, "For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God, being justified freely by His grace, through the redemption that is where? In Christ Jesus. Whom God hath set forth to be a propitiation through faith in His blood to declare His righteousness for the remission of sins that are past through the forbearance of God. To declare, I say, at this time His righteousness, that He might be just and the justifier of him that believeth." Who? In who? In Jesus. So we have life in Christ. We have no condemnation, but yet justification in Christ. To justify means to prove or to show to be just. It's pretty good, ain't it? Or conformable to law. I keep talking about the shooting that was in Atlanta. Was it justified? In other words, under the law, was the police officer right to shoot that man? Is it justifiable in what he done? When we look at our life and we apply it, the Word of God, the law of God, unto our life, are we justified? If we look at it by ourselves and in ourselves, then no. There is no justification. There can be no justification in ourselves. But the Bible said right here that we are how? Justified freely by His grace through the redemption that is in who? Christ Jesus. So justification comes three things. One, justification was free. Notice he said, being justified freely didn't cost us anything. Right? Free means free. Didn't cost you nothing. You know, salvation is more than socialism, ain't it? You know, they're telling everybody, huh? You got one party telling everybody, I'll just go ahead and say it. The Democrats are telling everybody that, you know, we need a socialistic government. I'm probably fixing to dig a hole right here. But you know what? There ain't nothing free, friend. Somebody's going to work for it, and somebody's going to pay for it. That's just the way it is. It's always been that way. Listen, communism, you know who bore the brunt of communism? The people that could least do it was the ones that bore the front and that of communism. And by the way, just because the Big C fell years ago when Reagan was in office still don't mean that communism ain't around. It is. But notice he said right here that justification was free. It's free to us, but somebody had to pay for it. And that was Christ Jesus the Lord. The Bible said being justified freely by His grace. Now notice that right there. That His justification for us was free. But it come by His grace. Grace is the unmerited favor and love that God has toward us in spite of ourselves. We think highly of ourselves. God was getting the deal when He got me. No, we got the deal. We got the deal. He didn't get a deal. As a matter of fact, He got the bad end of the deal. He's the one that had to send His Son and that from glory. And by the way, He didn't have to send Him, but He did send Him. Why did He send Him? John 3:16. For God so loved the world. Why did Christ come? Because He loved the world. Being justified freely by His grace. By His unmerited favor. Nothing you could do other than be born in your sin and in death. Listen, He come to where you were and dealt with you because He loves you. Why did He love me? That's been the question for years. Why did He love me? That's why, you know, people say we're going to preach on something deep tonight or talk about something. We're going to talk about the second coming. I believe the second coming is cut and dry if you really want to know the truth. I do. I believe the rapture's, I believe it's cut and dry. But friend, when you begin to talk about the mercy and the grace of God, that's a deep subject. Because no matter how much you probe that thing, you'll never get there. You'll never learn it. You'll never figure it out why He loved us like He loved us. You'll never understand and know why He looked at that thief hanging at Calvary, that first railed on Him, and then said, remember me when thou comest into thy kingdom. And He said, today thou shalt be with me in paradise. We'll never understand that. We'll never understand how He hung at Calvary and looked down at them and seen what they were doing to Him. He felt what they were doing to Him and He looked up to heaven and said, Father, forgive them for they know not what they do. The closest man that I ever seen do that in Scripture was Stephen. And as they took Stephen out and they were stoning him, he said, lay this not to their charge. Oh, that we could just grasp the grace of God a little bit. The Bible says that we love Him because He first loved us. That's wonderful, ain't it? It's in His grace that He done what? being justified freely by His grace through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus. The redemptive plan of Christ called for Him to go to Calvary. Sin had to be paid for. Well, no way around it. God was going to require a sacrifice. From the time that we go all the way back to who we started with, in Adam, all die. Do you realize that? And God killed some animals over there and took some skins and covered their body. Something had to die because of sin. The children of Israel come up out of the land of Egypt, and God had the Passover sacrifice. All down through the economy of the Old Testament and the economy of the law. There was innocent animals that gave their life to cover man's sin. But yet when Christ came, He was the innocent lamb that knew what He was doing. That little lamb didn't understand what was going on. I think about that sometimes. That little lamb. You know, we humanize animals sometimes, don't we? We do. We got a cat in our house. We humanize her. We talk to her like she's a human. We correct her like she's a human. And all she does is look at us, and if she was a human, I wonder what she thinks sometimes about us. She's a, you know. You know what? I was telling Kathy, you know what we've done? The one thing that we've trained her to do, I told my wife, I said, we have actually trained our cat to do something, and that is to tell us that she wants more food. So all things crazy. And so we humanize her. And we humanize animals. And so I lay a human aspect a lot of times to those lambs that go in there. You know what? They didn't know what was going on. They didn't have a clue what they were going to the slaughter for. They know. God was looking for that blood, and God was looking for that, you know, that Passover sacrifice, that one that they gave all of it in there as that smell went up into His nostrils. That's what God was looking for. That sweet smelling savor. So when Christ came, He knew what He was coming. He knew why He was going to Calvary. How do you know that, preacher? One, the Bible tells us over in the book of 1 Peter that it was from before the foundation of the world. Before God ever spoke this thing into existence, He knew man was going to fail. And He knew Christ was going to have to go. But redemption. The Bible talks about in Colossians 1, in whom we have redemption through His blood, even the forgiveness of sin. 1 Peter 1 says, for as much as you know that you're not redeemed with corruptible things as silver and gold from your vain conversation received by tradition from your fathers, but with the precious blood of Christ, as of a lamb without blemish and without spot. I remember as being a young preacher, the first time that I ever really, and that seen the type of the Passover lamb in comparison to 1 Peter chapter 1 and verse 18. I remember the first time I ever put that together. But I seen it. And I seen it because another preacher preached it. And I was so excited about what I got to see. I'd never put it together. And so the next time I got to preach, I preached his message. I was excited. I was. I'll be honest. Man, I I'd heard it on the tape. Somebody would give me an old poke full of tapes, you know, and I put it over there in the tape player. And boy, I don't even remember who the preacher was, but boy, he was doing a time with it. And I remember how much that stirred in my heart and in my soul that I got to see that. Would God that we'd get excited about the redemptive plan. That we would get the fire that Jacob talked about in Sunday school this morning. That boy would have hacked a little bit. I said he'd been preaching. Amen. Y'all catch on to that. The redemptive plan. and we're justified because He paid for us. We're His. And so He justified us, made us as if we'd never sinned in the eyes of God. Neither by the blood of goats and calves, but by His own blood He entered in once into the holy place, having obtained eternal redemption for us. He died once, He paid once. He saves once, but yet He keeps forever. At that wonderful, in Christ, I have life. There is animation in Him. I'm made alive because of Him. Number two, there is no condemnation. I'm condemnation free. I'm no longer condemned in my sin. But number three, there's what? Justification in the redemption that is in Christ Jesus the Lord. To get in Christ, you must come to Him. That thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in thine heart that God hath raised Him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. I love that. I love being in Christ. I'm no longer in myself, and no longer in Satan or in the devil, but I'm in Christ. Let's bow our heads this morning, if we would this morning. Are you in Christ? It's just a little music there. Are you in Christ this morning? You've been saved. There's therefore now no condemnation. No condemnation. Been made free because of Him. If you need to come and pray this morning, you might want to come and thank Him. Some of you's out there saved in such a hurry. You come in here on two wheels this morning. We got to go worship and go. And such a hurry. We miss so much, church. We miss thinking about what Christ, being in Christ, is all about. We're not like the rest of the world. You say, well, we're better than they are. No. If there's anything good about us, it's Christ. We're just still sinners. But oh, hadn't Christ forgave you of your sin? Listen, every one of us sort of been shouting this morning. Lord, to know that we have life, and to know that being in Christ is no condemnation, but yet it's justification and redemption that's found in. Never been saved, I would encourage you to come.